Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The daughter of a famous preacher was once asked if those who had died in the explosions of the World Trade Center in New York City on that fateful day of September 11, 2001, but had not confessed Christ as their Savior, would go to heaven. She said that many people wanted to visit her famous father at his home. They would drive up the long drive and come to the gate. They made contact and asked to be let in. They invariably said they'd read his books, seen him on TV, written letters to him, and now they wanted to come to his house. But the famous preacher would ask these people to leave as he didn't know them. They weren't a member of his family and didn't make any prior arrangements to visit him. Yet when the daughter drove up to the gate and contacted her father, the gate was immediately thrown open so she could go inside. Why? Because she was her father's child. As heaven is God's house, he has the right to decide who enters in and who stays out. He says he will welcome anyone inside his home if they've been born again into his family through faith in Jesus Christ, his son. This promise gives us a wonderful hope that when the right time comes, whether it be by death coming as a thief in the night, as it did for those in the World Trade Center towers, or as an angel of mercy after one has suffered a long illness, we can be assured that by the end of the journey, we'll step right into our Father's house and into his presence. We'll be welcomed there because we are our Father's children. Today's Bible adventure is about believing in Jesus as God's Son and the unbelief that the chief priests and the Pharisees had towards Jesus. The drama begins with Jesus' return from the region of Tyre and Sidon through the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee, as listed in the last section of Mark chapter 7.
Jesus went up into a mountain, and there multitudes from Gergesa and Decapolis flocked to him, bringing their sick and lame, and laying them at his feet. He healed them all. And the people, heathen as they were, glorified the God of Israel. For 3 days they continued to throng about Jesus, sleeping at night in the open air, and during the day pressing close, eager to hear the words of Jesus and to see his works.
My beloved disciples, I have compassion on the multitude. They have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint along the way.
Master, how can we get enough bread here in the wilderness to feed so many people?
How many loaves have ye?
Judas?
Oh, 7 and a few
little fish.
Go ye among the people and command them to sit.
Evidently the Master is going to feed them. The Master bids you to be seated right here on the grass.
As he had done at Bethsaida, so did Jesus here. He fed the multitude, gathered up afterward 7 baskets of fragments, and Jesus sent them away with glad and grateful hearts. In Jerusalem, Caiaphas, high priest, was talking to a mixed group of Pharisees and Sadducees.
Pharisees, Sadducees, you have long been of different opinions. One of you courts the favor of our people in their hatred of the Romans. You long to be rid of the Roman yoke. The other represents the rich. You are the party of the priests, the skeptics, and aristocracy of the nation. You have been enemies. But now comes the time to join forces. Together we must get rid of the man from Nazareth. We must find occasion to kill him. I am therefore appointing some from each group to go to Jesus and ask of him a miracle to prove his authority.
Jesus of Nazareth, if thou truly be the Son of God, we would desire a sign from heaven to prove it.
When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. There shall be no sign, except the sign of the prophet Jonah.
Jesus and his disciples had travelled to the region of Tyre and Sidon, outside of Israel, to get some rest from the crowds. But Jesus couldn't hide from the people in need. A woman of Syria had a daughter possessed by an evil spirit. She begged Jesus to heal her daughter. But Jesus didn't respond to the woman straight away, as he said his primary ministry was to the Jewish people and not to the Gentiles or non-Jews. But the woman showed such great faith by trusting in Jesus that he did heal her child after all. From the time of Moses, Jewish people were taught not to marry into other groups belonging to the surrounding nations. The distinctiveness was to stop the Israelite people being enticed away to worship other gods and so forget their own creator God. After the people in Samaria had intermarried with other nationalities, the Jews considered themselves superior to the Samaritans and all other races. This exclusiveness had turned into great pride and prejudice. Jesus had compassion on the people of Decapolis, even though they weren't Jewish, and he healed their sick people. He taught them about God for 3 days, and the people there accepted him. He didn't want to send them away hungry. With 7 loaves and a few small fish, Jesus fed about 4,000 people. Afterwards, they gathered up 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. Much later than this, after the Lord Jesus had gone back to heaven and the Holy Spirit had been given to believers in Jesus, the Apostle Peter had to learn that Jesus had reconciled Jewish believers with all other people who also believe in Jesus. Then there was no longer a distinction between Jew and Gentile in Christ, as all believers in Jesus were united together by the Holy Spirit. After the crowds of people were sent home, Jesus and his disciples left immediately to go to Magdala on the northwest coast of the Lake of Galilee. There the Pharisees came to Jesus to argue with him and to test him. The scribes and Pharisees plotted against Jesus and kept trying to find a way to destroy him in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 8. The rulers listened to his every word, trying to find fault so they could bring charges against him. When Jesus told the listeners that by their words they would be justified and by their words they would be condemned, a group of scribes and Pharisees then asked Jesus for a sign to show his power to be able to say such things. In the Old Testament, prophets often gave a long-term prediction as well as a short-term one that usually came to pass within a couple of years. The Jewish rulers had seen many miracles done by Jesus for the good of people and not as a display of his power over nature and illness. But this time, the rulers were looking for something like a magic trick or a show of Jesus' supernatural abilities. They were demanding him to perform for them when they required it. But Jesus never did such things. Instead, he called the rulers a generation that was morally unfaithful to God, saying that it was their unbelief that demanded a sign. Signs from God were granted to those who desired the sign to confirm their faith, as with Abraham and Gideon, but denied to those who demanded a sign to excuse or justify their unbelief. Jesus said the only sign that he would give to confirm that he really was the Messiah would be, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so would Jesus be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The rulers never forgot this prediction. Once Jesus had died on a cross and his body placed in a tomb, the rulers went to Pilate asking to have the tomb sealed and a guard set to watch over it to ensure that his body didn't disappear. In Matthew chapter 28, some of the guards who saw an angel roll back the stone door of the tomb where Jesus' body had been rushed back to tell the chief priests everything that had happened. It's no surprise that even though the sign Jesus predicted was fulfilled, the chief priests never gave up their unbelief that Jesus was God's son. The rulers then bribed the guardsmen to tell lies about what really had happened. Some people think that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, just before the Passover feast day. Then the day after the Passover day was a preparation day for the Sabbath day. They try to do this to make the timeline of Jesus being in the grave exactly 72 literal hours. When Jesus was speaking about Jonah, only in one gospel were 3 days and 3 nights recorded. So what really was the sign of Jonah? God miraculously kept Jonah alive in the belly of the great fish before directing it to cast him out alive onto the shore. This resurrection of Jonah compelled Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh. His telling of his experience convinced them to repent of their sins. Jesus' resurrection revealed his messiahship, and this has led to many to believe in Jesus too. In John chapter 2, when Jesus cleared out the temple courtyard of greedy merchants and animals, the Jews asked him then for a sign of his authority to do such things. Jesus replied to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In this statement, Jesus made his resurrection the unmistakable sign of his messiahship. For the vast majority of Jewish people, unbelief in both God and the Lord Jesus Christ has carried through every generation to the present time. When Nebuchadnezzar took most of the Jewish population of Jerusalem and Judea to Babylon in 586 BC, they expected to be there for 70 years while the land rested, as Moses had instructed the people to rest the land every seventh year. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 4 of his book, was told by the Lord that the Jews would be punished for 430 years and lose their homeland because they had turned away from God. Babylon was conquered by Cyrus in 539 BC, and Cyrus allowed the Jews to return to their homeland. When it came time to return, only a small number went back to the land God had promised them. The 70 years finished when the second temple, known as Zerubbabel's Temple, was dedicated in 516 BC. As most of the exiles chose to stay in pagan Babylon and not return to the Holy Land, the remaining 360 years of punishment were multiplied by 7, as listed in Leviticus chapter 26. It says that if the people didn't repent while being punished, the punishment would be multiplied by 7. And by staying in pagan Babylon, most exiles were refusing to repent. Foreign control of the land of Israel formally ceased on the 14th of May, 1948, and Israel immediately declared its independence. Modern Israel was literally born on a single day, and once again was a sovereign nation for the first time in 2,900 years. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet said that God would one day bring the people of Israel back to the land of Israel as a united nation. And God kept his promise, even though many Jewish people haven't wholeheartedly come back to worship him. In the 1800s, a movement called Zionism began to encourage Jews worldwide to move to Israel, which at the time was called Palestine. In Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophet said that God would one day gather the Jews back to Israel, and he would watch over them like a shepherd. Within hours of its declaration of independence, Israel was attacked by the surrounding countries, desiring to replace the Jewish state with an Arab one. These countries are much larger than Israel, but tiny Israel prevailed in that war and was able to capture additional land, increasing the land size of Israel by 50%. Israel also went on to prevail in 2 other major wars that followed. When the remaining years of punishment were converted from lunar years to solar years, the number is 2,484, which is the number between 516 BC and 1968. In June 1967, the Jews captured eastern Jerusalem. At long last, after 2,000 years, all of Jerusalem was back in Jewish control. Even today, some of the Jewish people are back in their land, but still live in unbelief. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 30 speaks of Jacob's future time of trouble. A terrible day is coming. No other day can compare with it. A time of distress for my people, but they will survive. Will Christians have their part of suffering in that day of distress too? Romans chapter 5 verse 8 and 9 says, "God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. By his blood and sacrificial death, we are now put right with God. How much more then will we be saved by him from God's anger?" Those who love Jesus Christ and are committed to him by faith will be called out of this world before the time of Jacob's trouble. Will you be ready for Jesus when he calls? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "is coming." May we all be ready and waiting for our beloved Savior to return. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound, and the website bibleradio.org.au. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is